John chapter 19, and it goes right along with what the choir was singing this morning, the necessity of preaching the gospel. The necessity of preaching the gospel. It's nothing more important for you and me as Christians, as believers, as those that have been saved through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and know our sins are forgiven. Know we have a home in heaven. Know we have a relationship with God. Know the blessings and the security and the assurance and the power and the life of salvation. And all that we have, there's nothing more important than being consumed and wrapped up and involved in telling someone else about Jesus Christ. Amen. Ask yourself this question. What is more important than that?
Right.
What is more important than that? Is your car more important than another soul? Is your house, your future, your career, is anything more important than the soul of another person without Christ? No, nothing is more important. Nothing is more important. And yet so many times everything else becomes more important to us. Everything else gets us distracted from thinking about or praying or just asking the Lord to open doors or move our steps or give us an opportunity. And if there's one thing that should be most important, it's reaching someone else with the gospel of Jesus Christ. John chapter 19 this morning. John chapter 19. Is the account of the cross, the story of the cross, the reality of the cross of Christ. It's recorded for us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but in John chapter 19, I want us to just start this morning by thinking about just one verse and one phrase, one portion of one verse, just one part of one verse that is just, it's gripped my heart lately, and I've been thinking about it a lot. And in John chapter 19 and verse number 25, it says this. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus. And in this verse, it goes to describe a few people, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. But verse 25, it says, now there stood by the cross, junto a la cruz, by the cross. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your word, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. Lord, thank you for the breath that we breathe. Every breath is a gift from thee, O God. Lord, may we just count it valuable. Every moment, every opportunity, Lord, we have is another moment, another day, another week, another time to live for thee, to live by faith in thee, to live unto thee, to live for thee. Lord, this morning I pray you'd speak to us and challenge us, convict us, and move us by thy word, by thy spirit this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen. It says, now there stood by the cross. Every one of our lives, and we could think of so many different events that have taken place in our life. How many times have you sat down or sat down with someone else or had to sit down with someone else and they started telling you a story? I'm good for this. Anybody that knows me, you know, you only have to spend 5 minutes and I'll start telling some story about something. Whether it's about my life or church or... And we all have events that take place in our life. Every one of us is, how many events have taken place in your life? From when you were a kid, or teenager, or adult. Events that maybe they've been traumatic. Maybe they've been funny. Maybe they haven't affected you too much. Or maybe they've affected you in a great way. Something that's permanently affected you. Or events that have taken place in your family. Or with your neighbors, your your home or your work or some other way. But every day there's events that take place. History. Kids take history in school. Oh. What is history? It's just a recording of all the events that have taken place up till now. And in class, they're given all these dates. You got to remember this, you know? You got to remember this. Well, what is this date? What is this date? You know, what is this date? I don't know what. Who knows? But it's all about events. But may I remind you this morning that of all the events that have ever taken place, there is one event, only one event in all of the world, in all of time, that has affected every person that has ever lived. Amen. And it's more important than any other event that has ever taken place. And it's the cross of Christ. No event has ever taken place in all of history, in all of the world, in all of the lives of all the people. No event has taken place and is more important than the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ. And when we read in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, and we read of the cross of Christ, of course, we know that the cross of Calvary, the cross of Christ, that on that one day, in one place, in the center of the world, in the center of time, one man accomplished one work for all of time, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. In the city that God would call Jerusalem. In Mount Calvary, Jesus Christ one day, one time, would die for all the sins of the world. And when we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's only one person that it's at the center of that event, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, the Savior, the King of glory, the one that has saved us from our sin. One event, no other event in all of history, in all of the world, in anybody's life, is more important than the cross. But you know, something we don't really take time to consider when we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, something we miss so many times. And when we miss it, we can lose sight of the importance of the gospel. But in John chapter 19 and verse number 25, it says, now there stood by the cross. By the cross. And lately I've just been just thinking about that phrase, by the cross. Junto a la cruz in Espanol. By the cross. Or near the cross. How many different people were there? Bible speaks about so many people on that day or the day before or the day after. But when you think of all the events that took place, when you think of that day when Jesus hung upon that cross, when he gave his life for the sins of the world, there was a whole city of people. It was a whole community that at that moment was not concerned or attracted or focused on anything else but what was taking place on Mount Calvary. People had come from afar. Hebrews had come for Passover. Strangers had gathered. Pilgrims had gathered. There were people that lived there. There were people that there just for the week or the month, just for that time of year. Children, adults, parents, grandparents, families. The Bible speaks of groups of people. You read the accounts. And I took time and I listed out and I counted about either, approximately 30 different groups of people or individuals. The Bible says there were groups like the elders and the council and the Pharisees and the priests. A whole group of religious people were near the cross. Soldiers. Think of how many soldiers. Roman soldiers. Temple soldiers. The Bible says they were servants of the priest. The Bible says there was multitudes. The Bible says there was men. There were women. The Bible speaks about all these different groups of people that somewhere on that day, they were close to the cross of Christ. They were that close. Some were right in front of the cross. Some may have been behind the cross. But oh, think of the population of Jerusalem. Think of the people. Think about how many people that day were that close to the cross of Christ. Speaks of individuals. Some are named. Some we know real well. There's Pilate, there's Herod. There's the wife of Annas. There's Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene. There's Peter, there's John, there's Simon the Cyrene, there's Rufus, there's Alexander. Many of them, the Bible tells us specifically who they were, their names. But then as often as is recorded in history, there's people that are famous, there's people that are well known, then there's other people. And we don't know their names. Just like when you watch a movie on TV. A good movie. Hallmark movie. You know, one of those. But anyways, you know, there's your main characters. But then how many other people take part in that movie? Oh, the extras. The extras, they're there on the set. They're in the background, but they're there. How about the maid? How about the woman when Jesus was arrested, taken to trial? How about that one woman that went to the door and said to Peter, "Hey, you're with him. What about her? What about the man that took that vinegar and put it up to the lips of Jesus Christ? What about the soldier that stuck the spear in Jesus' side? What about the men that held Jesus? What about the teenagers that were near that cross? What about the moms and dads? The older people that were near that cross? It was a lot of people, folks. Multitudes. But when you think of a multitude is made up of single people that are gathered together in one place on one occasion. And when Jesus Christ died on that cross, the Lamb of God on that cross, there was a multitude of individuals that were there that day.
There's a multitude. Just like there's a multitude in the world today. So many times we miss that. So many times we think in generalities. We see a world, but do we see individuals? Because every group that's mentioned, every person that's mentioned, whether they're named or not, whether they're given recognition or not, every one of them is a soul that Christ died for. Without exception, Christ died for the world. And this morning, as we think of this phrase, you're stood by the cross. As we think of that aspect that before the cross, when Christ was betrayed, when Jesus was arrested, when he was mocked and spit upon, when he was beaten, when he was tried, when he was led to the cross, when he was put upon the cross, when he hung upon the cross, when his body was taken down from that cross, when he was laid in that tomb, every one of those people was an individual just like you and me. They had lives, they had families, occupations, careers, futures, desires, wishes, likes and dislikes. But on that one day in time, in that one moment of time, every one of those people, every individual, was confronted by the cross of Christ. Every one of those people was confronted by the cross. Every one of those people, every individual, found out about the consequence of the cross. This morning I want us to consider three things. Number one, the confrontation of the cross. The confrontation of the cross. Oh, we are confronted with many things in our life. Throughout our lives, we are confronted, we're put face to face with many different things in our life. Situations, circumstances, and events that take place. But the confrontation with the cross is the most important. Because you know what it leads to? Consequences. You know, everything we do leads to consequences, doesn't it? I just came up with a new statement that I've been thinking about. Today, and probably someone's already come up with it. Today is the door of tomorrow, isn't it? Today is the door of tomorrow. What I do today, it's going to affect tomorrow. What you do today, the decisions you make today, they're going to affect tomorrow. I mean, just the reality of it. You go over to Groton. You drive down Route 12. You see that bright, shiny, yellow Mustang sitting in the parking lot. Oh, I need that. Oh, I got to have that. Oh, I got a credit card. Oh, zero down. You drive away in a new car. Tomorrow el coche, coche. You crash. Right? You still got the bill, don't you? Because today leads to tomorrow. And so, I want us to see, first of all, the confrontation with the cross. Second of all, the consequence of the cross. But thirdly, the consideration of the cross. First, the confrontation of the cross. There were many people there, many people in Jerusalem. There was probably over 1 million people in Jerusalem. Think about that. How many of those people were confronted with the cross that day? Or with Jesus Christ? More importantly, with Jesus Christ. Whether leading up to the cross, at the cross, or after the cross. And as we said, there were groups of people, there were individuals, named, unnamed. But this morning, if we might, let's focus on three of those people. Three of those people. Just stop and think about three of those people. We could think of the maiden, probably some other day we will. We could think of Alexander, Rufus, and probably will, or the soldier, the centurion, or the priest. But this morning, I just want us to focus on three people, three men. One is named and two aren't named. One we know and two we know of. One is Barabbas. And the other two are the other two men that hung on the cross next to Jesus Christ. You see, the night before, all three were in the same place. The night before, all three were in the same place. Because all three were the same type of people. In fact, all three were probably involved in the same activity. All three were criminals. I mean, everybody knew it. In fact, all three were guilty of not only crimes, but violent crimes. And most likely, crimes of insurrection that led to someone's death. And the night before, all three had been in the same place. Or the day before, sometime before, they'd all been in the same place. They had been caught, they had been apprehended, they had been convicted, they had pronounced judgment. And they said, you three men are going to die because you three men have committed violent crimes that have led to injury and death of other people, and the punishment is death. You're guilty, you're convicted, you're sentenced. You're going to die. And yet what we read in John chapter 19, you might say, well, Pastor, hold on a second. I see the one man on this side of Christ. I see the other man on this side of Christ. They're malefactors. They're criminals. They're paying for their crimes. Where's Barabbas? Where's Barabbas? Do you remember what happened to Barabbas? Hey, Barabbas wasn't a man you'd invite over for supper. He wasn't the guy you'd want hanging around with your kids. He was a man that should have been on the cross. Do you remember the crowd? Do you remember the multitude? Do you remember their cries? Do you remember their anger? Their hatred? Do you remember their cry when they cried out? Let Barabbas go free. But crucify Jesus Christ. Let this violent criminal that's guilty and worthy of death. No, set him free. Let him go. Let him walk away. But put that man on the cross, the Son of God. What happened? ¿Qué pasó? Barabbas walked free. Barabbas walked out of that jail.
A free man. A free man. He walked away free.
I was thinking this week, I was just thinking, I don't know, can't say with certainty, but thought to myself, I wonder where Barabbas went. I wonder where he went when they opened that door of that cell and said, Barabbas, you can walk out of here. You're a free man. Because we're going to put him on the cross in your stead. I wonder where Barabbas went. I don't know, but if it was me, I would have taken the first plane out. I would have said, you know what? I'm getting the quickest bus out of Jerusalem just in case they change their mind. I don't think it was so with Barabbas. Commentators say he was probably a leader of an insurrection, political insurrection. Could have been religious. Probably had a lot of pride. Probably thought to himself, well, boy, that was good. That was sweet. That was nice. Man, did I get off. I wonder if perhaps that Barabbas, instead of being the smart man that he should have been and running for his life, I wonder if he didn't just want to see what was going to take place. You know, pride will do that, won't it? Wonder if he might have just said, you know what? I'm just going to hang around. I'm just going to watch and see what happens. The Bible doesn't tell us. But it could very well be that Barabbas stood by that cross as well. But the crowd cried. Crucify him. Give us Barabbas. Let him go free. Crucify him. And Barabbas walked away a free man. But the other two men, they weren't so fortunate, were they? The crowd didn't say, give us three. They said, give us one. And Barabbas was it. And as Barabbas walked out of that prison cell, I'm sure those other two men said, wait a minute. We just followed him. He's the one that, And those two men were bound. They were led away just like Jesus Christ. And on that day when Jesus died, those two men, violent criminals, condemned to death, were put on the cross, their cross, and they died for their crimes. But here's the thing. All three of those men, at some point in time, right there, were confronted with the reality of Christ. All three of them. I don't know, but can you imagine what must have gone through the mind of Barabbas? And every other individual was confronted with a cross. And every individual in the world throughout time is confronted with a cross. Because God has purposed that the cross would be at the center of everything. Because God so loved the world that he gave that day
that place his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. First of all, we see the confrontation of the cross. But second, may I suggest to you this morning, what about the consequences? The consequences of the cross. And as we think of these three men, let's just think about the consequences. Because what happened? I mean, two men died. Two unnamed men that had committed violent crimes, been condemned to death, were hung on their cross. They died that day. But another man lived. Barabbas didn't die. And the Bible doesn't give us anything beyond this. But Barabbas lived. Lived. Barabbas lived. So stop and think, what happened? What happened to Barabbas? What happened to these two men? In fact, let's really think about it right now. Not just what happened. Where are they today? You know, events take place and then the years pass and time goes by and many times stories are written and news articles are written. Well, where are the people today? When this event took place or when that event took place in history, where are the people today? What are they doing today? What's going on in their life today? Let's check up and see where they are today. Let's do a follow-up story. Let's just consider for a moment a follow-up story on these three men. Because although we don't know what took place in the days and weeks and months or years, if possible, for Barabbas, we do know what the Scripture says. And the Scripture is true and God's Word is true. And it's not what I think or what you think or my opinion. It's what this book right here says, what God says. That's what's true, folks. So what about Barabbas? Well, you might say, well, boy, Barabbas, you surely escaped it that day, didn't you? Man, you escaped the judgment, the penalty. You escaped the cross, you escape. Man, Barabbas, boy, what a lucky guy you were. You escape the penalty for your crime. Did he really? Did he really? Hey, let's just put it in perspective. You know, there's a lot of people here, you and I, that we've escaped the penalty for things that we have done, haven't we? Yes, sir. Ooh. Pastor, keep moving on, please. Right? How many things in your past did you get away with? Right? Now, listen, don't raise your hand. But you know as well as I do, there were many things that happened in your life that you got away with, or you think you got away with. Barabbas might have thought that he got away with it. In fact, the Bible says, and in the Psalms it says, you know, that people that are so proud in their imagination, they're so proud in their evil thoughts that that they think that God forgets. They think God forgets. The Bible says there's actually people. Oh, actually, we too. The Bible says people have this foolish notion that somehow they think God's going to forget. that God does not see, or that nothing's going to happen, or there's going to be no consequences? In fact, Paul writes in Romans chapter 2. You know, we're so quick to go over to Romans chapter 3 and chapter 4 and chapter 5 and chapter 6 and get to the gospel. But you know where Paul starts out? Paul starts out with bringing everybody to two conclusions. Number one, that everybody's guilty. Everybody's guilty. You know, we think of these three men and we say, well, they were criminals. Hello, so ain't you and I. We're all guilty. Barabbas is guilty. These other two men were guilty. There were probably other people in there that were guilty too. There's only one person that wasn't guilty, and that was Jesus Christ. But when Paul begins to explain the gospel, when he begins to explain the gospel of Jesus Christ, he says, before we get to the good news of the gospel, he says, let's just make something clear. There's none that to do with good, none righteous, no, not one. We're all guilty. He says, but there's something else you need to realize. You can't escape the judgment of God. Romans chapter 2, he's speaking to the Hebrew people. He's speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious people. People that, not like Barabbas. Oh, no. Oh, no, I'm a Pharisee. I live a good life. I'm a Pharisee. I don't burp after dinner. That's how good I live. You know what Paul says? Paul says, you that judge others, you that think you're so good, you that think you're so righteous, you that think that you're so good that you're above the law, do you really think that you are going to escape the judgment and the wrath of God for your sin? Yes, Barabbas did escape the earthly judgment and penalty that day. Yes, he did escape the court and the soul. He did escape from that. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it's appointed unto men once to die. And Barabbas did die. I don't know the year, I don't know the day, I don't know how old, I don't know his physical condition, I don't know the circumstances of his death, but I do know this. There came a day, there came a day in the history of time when that man Barabbas died. And in that moment, he didn't believe on Jesus Christ as his Savior. He did not escape the judgment of God. Because in Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verse number 15, it says there's a throne in heaven. A great white throne. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And they were judged out of those books according to the works. And another book was opened, which is a book of life. And whosoever was not found written in that book of life, in the Lamb's book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. And you might say, where's Barabbas today? Well, I'm not exactly sure because I don't know Barabbas' heart. I don't know what took place after that day. I don't know what took place in his heart, in his mind, after the events of the cross. But I know this, that the Bible is clear that there's only salvation in one person, that's Jesus Christ. Amen. And if the consequence of the cross was that Barabbas walked away physically a free man, but still bound by sin because he never put his faith in Jesus Christ, never repented of his sins and trusted Jesus Christ, then today, right now, while we sit here, while we breathe, while we're alive, just like the rich man in Luke chapter 16, Barabbas is in the torments of hell. See, Barabbas was near. He was confronted by the cross. Where is Barabbas today? There's only two places, heaven and hell. What about the other two men? The Bible does tell us something about the other two men. The Bible tells about these other two men. So we can make some considerations upon the consequences of these two men. In fact, we know. We have an assurance. We have a fact given to us from God. An assurance given us to God in regard to one of these men. Well, one of those criminals hung upon the cross, and he mocked and he reviled Christ, and he even said, oh, if he's a Christ, let him come down, save himself. But you know what the other man said? The other man said, stop it. Hold on a second. Don't you understand? We're here, and it's just that we're here. We're guilty. We did these things. We committed these crimes. We're paying for our crimes. But this man, Jesus, don't you see? Don't you understand? He's done nothing wrong. He's pure. He's holy. He's righteous. He's just. He's done nothing wrong. We have. We're guilty. He's pure. And he turned to Jesus Christ. And he said these words. And through his faith in who he knew at that moment, that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the Savior, a pure and just and righteous man that was dying for his sins, he turned and he looked at Jesus Christ. And his hands were nailed. His feet were nailed. He's hanging upon a cross. And he turned to Jesus Christ and he said, Lord, remember me. Jesus Christ turned to this man and said, today, think about that. Today, you will be with me. See, the consequences of the cross. The confrontation of the cross. Barabbas, two other men, many other people. They came, they saw, they watched, they heard. They looked at Jesus Christ. All those priests and those Sadducees, those Pharisees, the soldiers, the maid, all those people, they saw Jesus Christ. They could see the purity, the holiness in his face and his life. They watched him as he yielded himself upon that cross. They heard his words. Think about it. They heard his words. They heard him speak with their own ears. They heard the first words when Jesus hung upon that cross. Father, imagine this. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They heard Jesus Christ, the Son of God, lift up his eyes and cry with a loud voice unto heaven, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? They heard Jesus Christ say, it is finished. They came. They heard. They saw. They watched. And every one of them, except for two, left and went their way. And where are they today? They all went their ways. Back to their homes. Whether they're in Jerusalem or some city afar off. They all went their ways. They all returned to their homes. They all sat down. Had dinners and suppers and probably talked about what took place. They all get up the next morning and did what they had to do. Whether it was go to work or whatever. But every individual was confronted by the cross. And every one of them bore the consequences of the cross one way or the other. And every one of those people today is either in heaven or hell because of how they responded to the cross. Why is it so important to preach the gospel? Just go back and look at all those people and then ask yourself this question. Where are they today? Where are they today? But I don't want to stop there this morning. Because if we end the message here, then we miss the most important part of the cross for today. And that's the consideration of the cross. Every one of those people had to consider the cross at some point in their life. Wonder how many sleepless nights Barabbas had after that. Wonder how many times in his life Barabbas woke up sweating in the middle of the night, shaking and trembling and thinking about the cross. Wonder about the soldiers, the servants, the priest. Wonder about the maid. Wonder about the man that put the vinegar up to the lips of Jesus Christ. Wonder how many times these people awoke in the middle of the night and sat up, and all they could think about was the cross, the cross, the cross. But what about for you and me? You see, what is important is our consideration of the cross. Because we are no different than any one of these people. We could have very well been one of those people that day near the cross. Any one of us could have very well been one of those people. You could have been one of the ladies near the cross. You could have been the maid that said to Peter, "Aren't you one of them?" You could have been a soldier that stuck the spear in Jesus' side. You could have been the men that held Jesus. You could have been the one that jammed the crown of thorns down upon his head. You could have been the one that spit in his face. You could have been Barabbas. You could have been one of the other two men. You said, whoa, hold on a second. I might have been one of the women or one of the men in the city at the time, but not a criminal. Oh, yeah. Because every one of us has committed crimes against the law of God. There's not a person here that has not trespassed against the law of God, has not stolen from God. Every one of us. Every one of us. And every person will face the consequences of the cross. Because no one can escape. But you can be saved. You can be saved. Because the purpose of the cross was the salvation of your soul. Because the whole reason for this one event, one day in all of time, in one place, by one person, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, was so that your soul could be cleansed from your sin. Ask yourself this question. If my sin is filthy, not my sin, if my soul is filthy with sin, how can I clean it? Many times in life we have something and it gets dirty, we spill something and we try and clean it. Oh, I know Bounty picks it all up. No, it doesn't. That's a commercial. Just like this. You might be able to do a lot of things in your life, but there's one thing you can't do. You cannot cleanse your soul from your sins. There's only one thing that can cleanse your soul from your sins, and it ain't Bounty towels. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Blood of Jesus Christ. And this morning, either your soul is cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, or it's still unclean. And so we see the consequences of the cross. The confrontation of the cross first. The consequences of the cross, but the consideration. But here's my question this morning. Here's my question this morning. And I know this. This isn't from me, folks. I know this message is from the Lord today. I'm as sure of that as I am about the very breath that I breathe. But this morning, let me ask you a question. You know the facts about the cross. You know the story of the cross. Hey, everyone here, listen, we've just heard it. So everybody knows the history of the cross. Everybody knows the story. Everybody knows the accounts. Everybody knows even the purpose that God has for the cross. That's not my question. My question is this. Not do you know the facts. You see, in Spanish, there's two words for no. In English, we kind of combine it into one word, to know. But in Spanish, there's two words, saber and conocer. They have two different meanings, very important. Saber is to know the facts, the information. Every one of us here, at this moment in time, we all have the knowledge, the information, the facts. That's not what I'm asking. The other words is conocer. Do you know personally? not mentally, personally. You see, the question is not, do you know the facts? Because everybody knows the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody knows of Calvary. Everybody knows about the cross. Everybody knows that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. Here's my question. Do you personally know the person of the cross? Do you personally know the power of the cross? Romans chapter 1, it says, the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Do you know the forgiveness of the cross? Do you know that your sins have been forgiven because you've believed on Jesus Christ? Do you know the cleansing of the cross? Do you know that your conscience has been cleansed because your sins have been removed and you've been forgiven by God? Or do you just know the facts? To simply know the facts without knowing the personal reality in an intimate, personal way in your life is to spend eternity in hell. Everybody's going to die. Without Christ, you're going to split hell wide open. Only when you know Jesus Christ personally as your Savior does something change. That's why it's important for me to stand here this morning and plead with you to be saved. That's why it's so important for us to go into that street and preach the gospel. Also, that's why it's important that you think about your life. It's your life. My life is my life. I've placed my faith in Jesus Christ. He saved my soul. But if you, let's pray. Father, thank you this morning. Thank you this morning for the cross of Calvary. Thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. Oh, thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your gift of salvation that comes only through the cross. Father, I pray, oh, I pray, dear God, I pray that if there's someone here that does not know the personal reality of the cross of Christ in their life, that today they would humble themselves before thee and ask for forgiveness through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh God, you sent your Son so that man could be saved. Father, save some soul today, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen.